Welcome everyone. It is just past 11:30 here on CKTZ FM 89.5 Cortez Community Radio. Just a few technical difficulties there as we start our show, the Pranayama Pachamama show here every Sunday from 11:30, well, almost every Sunday from 11:30 to 1, and repeated Wednesdays from 10 to 11:30. Thank goodness for amateur radio. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for taking a moment to be here. Thanks to the Natural Food Co-op for sponsoring this program, and everyone on the radio station for all the work they're doing to keep the show on the air. All the shows, all the vibes, all the opportunity to communicate globally, as it were, as we're online as well. And so this is a great opportunity for folks to speak their peace, speak their mind. And for this next hour and a half, it is the process of stepping into the body, mind, and soul union with these three concepts, seeing them as one solid unit. That's also, I'm picking up some feedback. I'm just looking to see where it is coming from. There it is. So yeah, I had a couple problems with my program, but now I think I'm ready to start. So this program is really diving into some really old concepts that have been around for thousands of years, and draws on to the attention of a more spiritual concept of life. However, as it turns out, science is catching up to these same concepts now. And so it's a very interesting time when we can start to incorporate many different ideas and ideologies and backgrounds and philosophies, and all see that they're all pointing into the same direction. They're all pointing to the same source. So this show tries to work with all these different concepts, trying to stay up to date, also trying to stay current with certain affairs that are happening, not only in the community here on Cortez, but also out in the world, because it is a kind of a ripple where we're all going to start to feel the shakes of the vibrations that are happening in the world. That's how unified consciousness works. And to stay centered in all that is really the key work, the key practice, and remaining firm and established on the groundedness of a sense of well-being, a sense of mindfulness, a sense of intention as to how to work with the energies that are there, that are available, and or that are happening, the given reality, as it were. So yoga is this, is each person's opportunity for the direct participation of this given reality. And this means that every moment we have an opportunity to be in intrinsic harmony with life. This means to be present in the sense to meet our own shadows and to live by cosmic law, which is a very challenging concept for our egos to grasp. But as we envelop this planet, our egos are showing their true colors, and we are understanding that we are something more than that. I'm sure many of us realize that the ego is a very small part of what we truly are. And to tap into those sources is what yoga can offer you. Yoga is it's a word that's definitely got many different meanings, especially in Western society. But to me, it's really a time that we offer ourselves, our body, our mind, and our soul, a time for remembering and awakening in the deep-seated story of our process of rising from the earth and then revealing our collective empowered voice and presence through this essence of the primordial wisdom that we carry within us. And looking out into the universe, really, there's nothing more powerful than a centered being. We just have to look at our Earth, how she sits in this beautiful glory, this presence, this centeredness, this groundness, spinning through the night sky, and her belly is full of life. And these concepts are just basically looking at how energy works and how it's always looking for its most efficient way of expressing itself. And the Earth is a very incredible example of that. So to find ourselves as we live inside her belly, we need to ground with her and honor our own bodies in this harmony, moving and breathing in this harmony with this Earth, and learn to share our embodied presence with being in tune with the essence of life. And this means, of course, meeting that shadow of the conditioning of life, of the human conditioning, and that smallness of this illusion that we are not enough, that we need to consume, that we need to attack, that we need to be at odds, in chaos, that simply by being in existence, I mean, really, we should be spending all our time just fascinated by our, like, looking at our bodies in complete fascination, like, oh my God, what is this? How did this happen? I mean, really, that should be consuming a great part of our time. So this program today is going to be the first of a four-part series. It's kind of something I just threw together last minute. As I think a couple weeks ago, my last show, I talked about working with samadhi, and I think that definitely will come. However, being the new lunar year and feeling that in order to get to samadhi, we need to work with these four elements, I thought that working with this next four-part series to follow this map, drawing on the wisdom of the elements, earth, water, fire, and air. So today's program will be Earth, reclaiming our bodies and exploring the roots of emotional suffering. And by doing this, we redefine our story by consciously separating it from our spirit, using science, awareness, and practice, always practice. And this work is available and beneficial to everyone, regardless of who or what you think you are. Ultimately, we are witnesses to our own miracle. So belonging by being the essence of its very nature. This is what it means to be intrinsic in harmony with nature, is to understand that we are nature, and to truly understand that we come from the earth, and that our intelligence is a continuation of this exploration of I am. And it is the first step to returning to the body. So we have all come from stories, events, tragedies. It's obvious and logical that anyone who abuses is also someone who has been abused. And these traumas make us leap out of our bodies and focus on mind-based stimulation. And the idea that our bodies are intelligent makes many of us spin with overwhelming information, especially when it's been so painful for us being in the body from past experiences, or we're so preoccupied with jumping around trying to survive the doctrine society built around goal setting and an intense level of survival needs. How much money do we really need to survive? And how many more trips to Mexico will make it right? Will we discover purpose with our busyness? So Einstein said, the most beautiful thing we can ever experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all art, music, and science. Our bodies are a big part of that mystery. They formed millions of years ago and developed a way to evolve by generational lifetimes. They beat, they breathe, they circulate, they move freely, they communicate, and they feel and retain information for further investigation, for improvement and further possibilities. We are a highly advanced form of organic molecules working together for a greater interaction with the awareness of our own mystery. We are the universe observing itself. Scientifically, measuring the habits and formalities, to establish these new levels of paradigms, literally we evolve at about a rate of 5%, enough to slowly transform the reality according to our new understandings of it. So how does this help us get back into the body? Well, contextually, we give meaning to things by observing them. But reality works by becoming that which we choose to observe. For example, light will appear as both a particle and a wave. When looked at with scientific experiments, as if it's a particle, it receives the information and becomes a particle. If it's being scientifically analyzed as a wave, it receives that information and returns to respond as a wave. So depending on how it is being observed, that is how it is being seen. Light is very intelligent. Its behavior is dramatically affected on how it is being observed. So in other words, the observed becomes whatever the observer chooses to believe. Therefore, everything we experience as individuals is truth according to how it is being observed. We literally create our own reality according to how we are feeling inside the body and how we are choosing to perceive reality. Light responds to our perspectives, and everything we see is light. So we are literally creating our own movies. And all of this happens within the body. And these layers and layers of conditioning and learned responses and explosive vulgar behaviors are all deeply ingrained in our genetic code. They're like millions of little small mirrors flashing images and sending responses to our nervous system. So how does yoga fit in with this? Yoga is a science that has developed tools to sympathetically and congruently observe the ingrained stories of emotion, compassionately and honorably, and with the intention to rise above these illusions set by the mind, and to remain separate from the center of the soul. It allows us to see the journey of the self through the self to the self. We can witness the stories, the habits, the limitations without claiming them as our inherited journey, as we link our consciousness to a greater dimensional understanding of spirit and the universe. So with each day, we have the ability to settle into the energies of a new cycle, shattering old beliefs and moving beyond the stories of the mind. So returning to our bodies means feeling the pain and our anguish and our failures and our grief, our disappointment, but not becoming them, not projecting them out into the light as we are responding to what's inside of us and have that reflected back to us as our reality. It means allowing emotions to rise and fall without riding that roller coaster, working with the practice to find that center of the observer, find what works to respond to, what desire you wish to see in the outside world, what events you would actually like to experience in the outside world. And this is where you start to change your stories or change the channel or change your movies that you're watching or that you're experiencing. This is where we start. This is the practice that enables us to work with these concepts of light having an intelligence. So tools like breathwork and stillness and movement in patterns that awaken energy channels and bring oxygen to the parts of the body. This is what yoga does. It offers a chance to feel good in the body, to feel whole and at peace with this wondrous gift we have been given by ourselves, to see we have chosen to become into the object-based experience of physical, so we could observe the self and all possible manifestations of the source, and by observing, come to know and bestow some meaning and some conscious, intimate effort to move forward from this point, meaning that all intentions come after thought. And so this creates this coexistence with the universe. We are co-creating with the universe by our observations and by our choices. And our choices have a direct impact on how reality functions. So returning to the body, connecting with the earth, this connection becomes the forefront of who and what we are. Life is not happening to us. We are in direct communication with every form of life around us. We are not meant to document or manage it, but be a part of its natural rhythmic flow. The earth is a solid manifestation of a centered being, and we are a solid manifestation of a being capable of connecting with this centeredness. We are the same. This is not some hippie, new age, drug-induced concept. This is science. Atoms live within the context of complementary values. They can know where they are or where they are going, but not both. As atoms working together, our bodies can be present and know where we are in space and time. Or we live in this past and future concept and movie making of the mind, where we're constantly moving back and forth through these completely detached spaces of the body. And we are unattached to and unaware of our bodies, of its intelligence, and what it is communicating. The body doesn't exist in past or future. The body is always here in the now, very present moment. And if we are living past experiences or imagining future or just living these movies we're projecting through these mirrors in our mind, we are in the mind, and then we're manipulating the light according to how we are feeling. And this is what we will see. If we are in the present moment, we are embodying the body. And this can be a very painful experience for some, triggering grief or loss or trauma of many sorts. Hence the practice. The practice helps develop new paradigms, new habits, new perspectives on reality that ultimately become the reality. So, practice number one. Creating an earth altar. It's very simple. It's very soft. It's very intimate. And it has a very powerful impact to the body, to the soul, to the connection to the earth. And if you have a chance to look online on the Cortez Radio Facebook page or later on the website when I put this on a podcast, there's just an image or photograph, a very simple concept of what I'm talking about as an earth altar. It's simply finding a quiet place with the earth, somewhere where you can meditate with the earth. It's easier to do on Cortez, harder to do probably elsewhere, but even in your backyard or finding some small place, some place you like to go for a walk, and feel her depth and her time and her awareness of you. Feel that interaction happening with you, your presence, your body, the earth, and feel that softness of her growth and the sweetness of her smell and the strength in her physical presence, and feel that her presence and yours are the same. And in this space, begin to gather small items that cause very little disturbance, like stones or dried leaves or sticks or dried seaweed. You can bring seeds and dried berries. And, you know, this is a hard concept for people to grasp, but this is ceremony. This is ritual. This is something that brings us back into the body, is when we are focusing our attention, our observing into this context. And starting with a center or a point, radiating out like a sun mandala, clearing a small space on the earth, create this design with either a star-pointed geometric design or a equal on all sides, or a yin-yang, measuring but opposite, equal but opposite, or any sort of contextual design that starts to appear to you using these objects. It could be very simple. It could be a square with a couple of, you know, always finding just a center point and working from there. But this opens up your creativity to consciously communicate your intentions to the earth. And you're just hanging out with a good friend who happens to be your deepest ancestor. And this plays a very big part in our psyche when we start to play with the designs, working with Earth's artistic materials. We're literally sending a message to ourselves. We're actually energetically rippling this into the cosmic fabric of our intention and manifestation. And this is the work of the Earth Altar. This is the practice. It doesn't have to be fancy or big or have some huge artistic impact. It simply has to be the work, the practice of reconnecting your body with the earth. And this is where we, as the observer, create what we are observing, and that then comes back into our lives. This is a gift we're literally giving back to ourselves. And with this practice, you can learn to get more direct communication from this source and rely less on the stories of the mind. And life will start to speak to you. All life will start to speak to you. The owl, the breeze, time will become one source of communication. Yoga is not the effort to become enlightened. It is the realization of direct experience. It is the inhale of openness, an invitation of knowing. It is the exhale of release, the acceptance of what is. It is a balance of opposites that are dependent on one another. One cannot exist without the inhale or without each other. The inhale cannot exist without the exhale, and the exhale cannot exist without the inhale. This is the balance of the male-female energies, different but dependent on each other to create wholeness, to create life with breath. So practice number two, taking that concept of sometime going out to do your earth altar, we will breathe with conscious movement, sitting with a long straight spine, drawing your breath deep from the lower pools of the belly, extending the spine out from the pelvis, dropping the shoulders, closing the eyes. On the next inhale, bringing your arms up over your head, palms together, and exhaling, drawing the palms down to the heart, Anjali Mudra. And continuing this breath, inhale, raising the arms up over the head, bringing the palms together, joining the left and the right sides, hemispheres of the brain, of the body, the balance of the male-female energies, drawing that into the body as you center, pulling that into the heart, exhale, bringing the palms in Anjali Mudra prayer position at the heart. And enjoy this movement for Ajit's new album, Indigo Sea. This is Breathe.
you todas las esferas del universo canten gloria para ti. Las plantas, la tierra, el fuego, el aire, las plantas, el reino mineral, el reino vegetal, el reino animal y el reino del hombre. Gracias, amadísimo Padre. Gracias, Padre. Gracias, gracias,
Thank you. Thank you.
with a very powerful message to heal the soil as we work with connection to the earth here on the Pranayama Pachamama show on CKTZ FM 89.5 Cortez Community Radio, where all vibes fit. And for this hour and a half, it is the show that reconnects us to union, body, mind, and soul. I played a mantra there, a couple of good mantras for reconnecting to the earth. Jairar is the Jairare is the mantra for the connecting to Divine Mother, and Om Tara, the goddess of compassion, the Bodhisvita, that protects us from physical, emotional, and spiritual suffering. So a Bodhi or Bodhisvita is a seeker of the intellect. So someone that has remained incarnated in human form to help others rise in their own wisdom, their primordial wisdom that they inherently have in their bodies, and as we are born with this and have an opportunity to reconnect with it at every moment of our lives. Just offering you a few practices there with connecting to the earth, finding a moment in a natural environment with some artistic materials to create an earth altar, and also working with centering in the body with the breath work and Anjali Mudra, drawing into the heart with deep, long breaths. These are the works, the practice of regaining the intellectual communication that is constantly happening within the body, whether we're aware of it or not. It is an incredibly efficient, dare I say, machine. But of course, anything that works congruently together is something of its own miraculous understanding. And our bodies do that unconsciously. Our heart beats, pumping blood to our body, fueling its circulating warmth. Our lungs are inhaling and exhaling breath. Our eyes are blinking to keep moist. All these things that are happening without us even really being aware, but our body is aware of it constantly. It's constantly communicating to itself. And the more that we take the time to get out of our minds, get out of the stories of the past and the projections into the future, the more that we can be present in the moment is the more that we can connect with the body. And these tools, these practices help with that. So on to practice number three, working with this movement in the body, in the breath. And what it does is it strengthens and stabilizes the connection between body and emotions. And Kundalini yoga, the kriyas that Kundalini yoga offers, are especially powerful tools to draw into this inner fire that keeps the body clear and clean. It burns up toxic buildup and keeps the channels pure with the ability to constantly be drawing in new prana. This prana is that conscious intelligence that is available to feed the soul. It goes directly to feed our neurons. And so Kundalini yoga was brought to the West by Yogi Bhajan, and he says one of his lectures, he talks about Kundalini yoga as the most important thing to experience because it goes straight to the heart, and no words can replace the experience. Your mind may accept the words or it may not, but your consciousness will not accept just words. Meaning that it's not something that I can just talk to you about and tell you what happens. It's something that you have to experience for yourself. And there really are no words. The English language is very limited to these concepts. And that is only because when we look deep enough, every word we use is really an expression of what we're experiencing. And so to experience the actual energy that has created your body is unfathomable. It is endless. It is formless. It is simply a feeling that arises within you. So Kundalini Yoga is directed towards refining and expanding this awareness by tapping into the nervous system using certain techniques or rhythms or breath or movements that activates these energy centers. And when these energy centers are activated, a lot of what we're living in the mind, these self-doubts or limiting belief systems or the inner dualities that we are experiencing outside of ourselves, this goes straight through all of these concepts. And this is the potency of Kundalini Yoga and why it can only be witnessed and not relayed. So the origin of this study showed up in the Upanishads, which are the scriptures of yogic philosophy. And Kundalini is known as this form of primal energy that literally is located at the base of the spine, and it's coiled, and it can lie dormant and unnoticed for many of us, but it can be awakened and draws up the spine and shoots up through the crown chakra and reconnects us with the energy of source. And so using things like mantras, tantra visualization techniques, pranayamas, bandhas, which are locks we hold energy in the body to create that buildup of force, of source, of energy. These are all ways of, these are practices that a Kundalini offers. And one of the big ones that is a forefront to all of the kriyas, all of the practices, is the breath of fire. So this really belongs when we talk about fire, but the practice that I'm offering you is a Kundalini kriya to reconnect us to our body. And the breath of fire is a good resource to use. So just sitting comfortably with a long, straight spine. And just to be aware that if you are pregnant or in your menstrual cycle, that working with this breath of fire can, it's better to be very quiet and soft rather than a more forceful flow of air, just because your belly is already doing so much and has its own fire working away. So always the breath of fire is to remain very quiet and intentional rather than deep and meaningful. So this breath is when we are seated comfortably in what we call a meditative pose, which is simply with your spine rising out of the pelvis, your shoulders are drawn back. And your pelvis is not tilted forward or tilted back, imagining it as a three-dimensional bowl of water, so that you really want to remain the water, keep the water filled to the brims so that you're not spilling out the front or spilling out the back. So this is sort of like a comfortable effort that you're putting in to making space with your vertebrae. And the breath of fire is rapid and rhythmic and has an equal emphasis on the inhale and the exhale. So using the relaxing the diaphragm muscles and letting the breath be relaxed, but also pressurized. So when we exhale, we blow out powerfully from the nose. And when we inhale, when we exhale, we're pressing the abdomen towards the spine. And as you inhale, you're blowing up the belly like a balloon. And again, you're powerfully inhaling through the nose and then exhaling, powerfully exhaling through the nose and drawing the abdomen towards the spine. And this, you're following in a rhythmic pattern. So you're doing approximately 2 to 3 breaths. A breath every second, or 2 to 3 cycles in a minute, which the cycles are more like finding these rhythm patterns of 5 for every minute. And this just allows you to start to build up this fire within the belly. And working with the breath of fire on many different levels, it doesn't have to always be intense. It can be more relaxed depending on the kriya that you're doing. And so for the kriya I'm offering, for getting into the body, you would use a more relaxed breath of fire. And of course, if the more intention you can put into the pose, the stronger the breath of fire can be. And the pose is what we call archer's pose. We are simply striding our legs out at about 3 feet apart. The front foot, whether it's right or left, let's go with right so I can explain this better. So your right foot is forward and your left foot is back about 3.5 feet. Your right foot is pointing forward and your left foot is out at an angle at about 40 degrees. And the space between your two heels is about 1 inch. So you have a good solid foundation in the legs as you bend the front knee to go just above the ankle. So it's a right angle with your knee and your ankle and your thigh. And this will dip down the pelvis as you extend and lengthen out the back leg. And with an inhale, drawing up through the spine, bring your hands together in front of you at the front foot. And as if you're drawing a bow, you would pull your left hand out behind you so your elbow is in line with your back shoulder and your right hand is extended out in front of you at shoulder length as well, at shoulder height. So you have a long straight line coming out from your shoulder, your front arm. You can bring your thumb up on your front right hand, and this allows you to focus with your eyes. Let the gaze be gentle and soft and extended out through the peripheral vision, but also with the intention of where the arrow is going to go. So make sure to keep that deep extension in the back leg and also the bend in the front knee. This is going to give you more support as you also get more intention into the feet as well, so that your that ball of the big toe, your big toe comes out of your foot, that solid ball under your foot is pressing and diagonally on the outside of the heel is pressing against the mat. So really putting in the intention of drawing grounding into the earth underneath you as you are drawing into the archer pose and imagining that arrow flying straight through anything that's keeping you from being present, being real, being centered, being alive, being in union with yourself, being in union with the energies around you, with the earth itself, with the qualities of light, being in tune with all this as you breathe deep through the belly, allowing the breath of fire to start slow and build up the heat, drawing in the inner pelvic muscles into the body. This is the practice. This is the pose that draws us more into alignment into the body, into the left and right hemispheres of the body. Please enjoy with the breath of fire. We will do, what did I have in mind? Well, we'll do Shantala, Jairara, and Cospiro. That is Govinda and their song Be Calm. A little techno kirtan there to end the show here on CKTZ FM 89.5 Cortez Community Radio, the Pranayama Pachamama Show, Sundays 11:30 to 1, and Wednesdays from 10 to 11:30. That show is a repeat of Sunday, so if you missed some of the program and wanted to hear it again, it is again Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. And and on the radio website as well, there will be podcasts. I believe I can get this one on. So working with the four elements today was Earth. Next program, hopefully, I think will be next Sunday, will be water. We will reclaim the right to feel, and also cutting the cords from emotions that don't serve us anymore, and learning to free the soul from conditioned patterns that keep us locked in old stories. This is the continuing process of working with the four elements as we draw into the wisdom, the primordial wisdom within, to meet the shadow of conditioning as we drop into these elements to rise into the samadhi, into the state of bliss. And we can do that here on Earth in our physical bodies. It's all possible with a lot of practice. And it's not about being perfect. It's just about being real. So namaste, satnam, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and the rest of your week. And I shall leave you with another great tune from Ajit Kaur, her new album, Indigo Sea. It's really a beautiful rendition of some old Gaelic songs, and as well as a connection to water. So it would be a great one to leave you with. I was just had it, now it's gone. Where are you? Indigo Sea, there you are. Enjoy.
Rising now, keep the fire burning all night long. sister.